Well, good morning. Thanks for having us speak again while we're home in Saskatchewan. It's our home away from home, away from home. Even though we have moved out of Saskatoon 12 years ago, it's always nice to be here. Yeah, Saskatoon will always have a special place in our hearts. And we want to thank you for Westgate Church family for adopting us into your lives. It's nice to be with people who are helping us to grow and to walking with us in prayer and support. So thank you.
And our own family is growing, and you can probably see them around, running around after the church. Jordan now is 10, soon to be 11. He just graduated grade 5 in Arviat, and he'll be entering the junior high in Arviat. So you can pray for that. The junior high is a little wild with the grade 6, 7s, and 8s. Logan is in grade 9, and he actually speaks the most Inuktitut out of all of us, but he doesn't always know how to translate into English. So he says something, and he has no clue usually what he's saying, but other people seem to know what he's saying, which is kind of amazing. Brooklyn is 3, and she is our ballerina, pink, frilly, rhinestones, anything girly. She's got it, and she has to have it all the time. And so that's Brooklyn. And Caitlin, or Analiak, is 22 months, and she loves to bug her big brothers. She likes to pick on her big sister, and I think she believes that she's a lot bigger than what she is. It's because of churches like this in the district that we are where we are. So we got to go to Arviat and first hear about Arviat because our district communicates with churches like this in your bulletins, in prayer requests. And so we were in a church service and heard that Arviat hadn't had a pastor for 10 years. And the district was asking churches to pray for Arviat. And so we noticed this and we prayed. And 5 years later, we were back in a church later and saw the same prayer request and decided that's awful. For 15 years now, this particular church in Arviat hadn't had a pastor. And at that time, we didn't know much about Arviat, but in that five-year span, we met people who had been there. We'd seen some articles on the news. God kept on bringing Arviat back to us. And it was just amazing how different people around our district kept talking to us about it. And then we were given the opportunity to visit Arviat. And then we were asked to go and minister for 6 months. And now it's been over 11 years that we've been there trying to help the broken and forgotten people find Jesus in Arviat. Brad and I both grew up in a small town called Assiniboia, and we never, ever had snow or winter more than 6 months. And I can say for myself, I didn't really like snow or the cold or the winter, and I was the type of kid that if my mother told me to wear a hat, I wasn't going to wear hats, and my parents told me to wear boots, I wasn't going to wear boots. I did not want to let go and pretend that winter was here. I wanted to always be summer. But now we live in a place that is snowy in winter, 8, 10 months of the year. When we left 2 weeks ago or so, we still had ice on the bay, and we still had huge amounts of snow in our backyard. But you never know where you're going to go when God calls you and when you listen to his call. You guys know people in this congregation who had different calls to go different places. God leads us no matter where he calls us. And we can read about this in Paul, where he led different people to different places. And Paul traveled around and started many different churches in the Roman Empire.
In Arviat, we're trying to be like Paul, who met people where they were to help them come and find Jesus. And he describes what he did in 1 Corinthians 9, 19 to 23. And turn there with us if you have your Bibles or if you have a special device with the Bible on it, and we'll read it together. 1 Corinthians 9, 19 to 23, or you can read it up there. Even though I'm a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who follow the Jewish law, I too lived under that law. Even though I am not subject to the law, I did this so I could bring Christ to those who are under the law. When I'm with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law, I too live apart from that law so I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. When I am with those who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and to share in its blessings. Paul's known for teaching about freedom for living. He writes how Christ continually makes us free. But what does this freedom look like? Some of the Corinthian church and people since then have believed that this freedom that Paul talks about is freedom to do whatever we want. We're free, and so anything is okay for us to do. This led the Corinthian church to argue about who is the best leader. It led them to argue over what kind of food to eat, if food offered to idols was acceptable to them. And then they even accepted sexual immorality in the church instead of disciplining those who were involved. And so instead, the freedom Paul is talking about is a different kind of freedom. Our freedom in Christ is not freedom to live however we want, but freedom to live following Jesus where there was no freedom before. Before we find Jesus, we cannot help but live in sin. But after we believe in Jesus, we are free to follow him and to do good and right. We are free to do what we couldn't do before, and we follow Jesus into a new life. And that's why Paul wrote, "We know that our old life, our old sinful self, was nailed to the cross with Christ. And so the power of sin that held us was destroyed. Sin is no longer our boss. When a man is dead, he is free from the power of sin. And if we have died with Christ, we believe we will live with him also."
When we've lived with God, where we live, God has created an atmosphere for freedom. Before Christianity, the Inuit people believed in shamanism. Now, shamanism kind of revolved around the one shaman in charge of that particular family unit. And that shaman had control over a lot of things: what they ate, who they married, what they did, what parts of the caribou they could eat, what clothing they could wear near the water, on land, and it varied from shaman to shaman. But way before Christianity came, some of the shamans were having dreams and visions about a white man's book that was coming that would give a better leadership and better help than any shaman could ever do. And then the shamans wouldn't be powerful anymore. God was already providing a way for Christians and missionaries to come. The book was powerful in the visions that they were seeing, and it made their lives better. And they knew when this book came that things would get better. And so the people then chose freedom from the shaman's powers and followed the new way when Christianity came. And the Bible came, and many Inuit readily turned to its teachings through the early missionaries, and some found freedom from their past lives and the past control that the shamans had.
But it's not enough for us just to find freedom in Jesus. We need to help others to find freedom as well. And Paul writes that he used his freedom to be flexible enough to help all kinds of people to come and follow Jesus. As we read, Paul tried to let other people's lifestyles become his own so that more people would come to Christ. And Paul took his freedom and he gave it to other people so that they too could learn the love of Jesus that he has for them.
And we have found freedom growing up in Assiniboia as kids, then following Jesus and coming up to Saskatoon for schooling. The freedom was brought to us in Arviat as well, and ministering there among the Inuit people there. It's given us flexibility that Paul writes about. We are flexible each day. Each day depends on who comes for help. We could have a single mom knock on our door who needs food that day to feed our kids. We could be counseling somebody who's struggling with addictions. That takes flexibility. We could be walking beside a grieving family. We could be working on a sermon or encouraging people that Sunday. We could even be giving someone a ride to the local health center at late nights. Being flexible and available is just part of what God's called us to do.
And Paul writes about this flexibility, and we know it's not easy to change our lives, but we can read that we need to do this so that we can reach others for Christ. Paul writes that when he was with the Jews, he lived like a Jew. If he was with the Gentile people, then he lived like a Gentile, a people who are not Jews. If he was here, he would live just like us, so that we would be more able to accept him and more willing to hear what he has to say about Jesus.
When we were kids growing up, we kind of lived like anybody else in Saskatchewan. And when we moved to Saskatoon and became college students, we lived like anyone else at the U of S and then going on to Bethany Bible School. And now that we live in Arviat, the way that we live is not like the same way as we lived here in Saskatoon. We have changed. And so some of the big changes that we have made is when raising our kids. Brad and I never grew up with Inuktitut names, and our kids all have Inuktitut names. Jordan is called Ikayuti, and that means helper. Logan is Nuka, it means little brother. Brooklyn is Upinik, which means faith, and Nalyuk, or Caitlin, is the woman. So it's really different than what we grew up with. We also have learned how to carry our kids traditionally. Our kids yesterday were in Walmart, and they saw a tiny little baby in a car seat, and they had no idea what this car seat was. And that's because we amuck our babies. And you can see the boys, I think, in one of those pictures, pitting the girls on their backs. And that's the traditional Mounties, and that's something we've had to adjust. Our children go to daycare and to school where Inuktitut is the first language. And they have tried really hard to learn Inuktitut. And in fact, just dropping off Inuyak at the nursery here, I had to teach the nursery worker, if she wants a bottle, she doesn't say milk or bottle because she only knows it by the Inuktitut words. And in fact, both our girls speak most of that baby language you first learn in Inuktitut. It's a bit of adjustment. We try to learn Inuktitut as well, and we're not as great as our kids have been, unfortunately. One of the other differences we've made in moving to the north is adopting different aunts and uncles, grandmas and grandpas from the north. And one of the things that these adopted aunts and uncles do is kuni our kids. Something we never grew up with is kind of an Eskimo kiss, what people would be familiar with down here. But this all takes flexibility and a willingness to change. And as humans, we're not always willing to change. Sometimes it's hard.
We all know that there's walls that we easily construct when we meet someone who doesn't look or act like we do, and we can find it easier to keep to our own people and to create an us against them feeling. One example is about 70 years ago, there was an Inuit family who met some white people for the first time. The Inuit were unsure of who these new people were during the night they left an offering of seal at the doorway of their tent, the white people's tent, and then they moved away during the night. And if it had been another Inuit family, they would have known and understood how to react to them. But because they were white people and they were new and they were different, the Inuit family had to act cautiously, and they went away in the night.
More recent example is when we first moved to Arviat. Brad kind of dressed like he did in Saskatoon. He wore jeans, he had a jean jacket, he had his goatee, which is different than the northern beard now. He had an earring. Some people in our community were a little taken back from that. And in fact, there was rumors floating around Arviat that he was a biker and that maybe he was part of the mafia and that he ran away from trouble in the south and that he couldn't be a pastor. Because of the way he looked. And so for some people's walls went up because of just the way he looked. And so moving forward 7 years later, the same people would never think that Pastor Brad is any different from them because now he looks like a northerner. He has a homemade parka, homemade hat, a pang hat, which is a northern kind of type hat that's knitted. He has the full beard, the northern beard now. And people realize that he looks and acts just like everyone else, and he blends in now.
And so to reach out to those who are more different than us, we need to take away the walls that we build up, and this can be hard to do when we feel like it's an us-against-them situation. And it's even harder when the people we want to reach out to are feeling the same way as us, as they're feeling that we're in our group and they're in your group. But with Jesus' help, we can change and accept the people that God has made and understand that he wants them to be a part of his family too. As Paul wrote, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. For there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Jesus Christ. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. And God wants everyone to be a part of his family, and Jesus died for everyone who wants to be free.
Brad had the opportunity recently to walk with a young girl in our community. He was called out one night to go visit somebody at the health center. And there he prayed for the family and specifically for this young girl who'd be in her early 20s. She was lashing out at her family and the nurses, and she was just not herself at the health center. So later, Brad hooked up with the family and went over to the family and was able to help calm her down. And he had promised that he would continue visiting with her. And so over these visits, they found out that this young girl was hearing voices. And not sure where that was coming from. And it took some time to go through, but they went through the steps of freedom with her. And after giving her issues to Jesus, she found freedom from all the abuse in her life, from the voices went away after this. She's a totally different community or person. You see her in the community, she has a smile on her face. Her comments on Facebook are of joy. Totally different transformation of this young girl. And as far as we know, she hasn't had to go back to the health center with similar symptoms. And she's doing amazingly well.
And so it's easier to tear down the walls that we have or that other people have by serving them and by showing love to those that we're trying to reach for Christ. And we have to be intentional about how we show this love, so that we're more acceptable to those that Jesus is showing us who we need to reach out to, those who need to hear about him. In this way, we can better reach out to others, and we'll probably have to change our lives a little bit so that we can reach out better to share the love of Jesus with them.
I actually took a new job about 2 years ago, and in that had an adoption leave. But my new job is the director of an early education center in Arviat. And so I manage an office staff of three. And it's really remarkable because I don't initiate a lot of this, but my staff came in one day. And then she's a young, almost 30-year-old girl, and she was absolutely distraught. She was worried because her younger sister was in a different community, and she knew that her younger sister was in a bad relationship with a bad boyfriend. And she was really scared that the boyfriend would become violent because of alcohol. And so my staff in the office just all of a sudden got together and surrounded this young girl, and we prayed for her sister up in the other community. And not long after that, about after lunch, we found out that her sister had moved, or was planning to move. She reached out to the local social services that day at the exact time that we were praying, and she was going to arrive on the evening flight because of social services help. And so it's really amazing to see connections through work where we can pray for people. The other interesting thing that's happened recently at work is just this past Christmas, I've had three workers that either lost a mom or a father at Christmas time. And it was really difficult because we live in a small town, about 3,000 people, 1,800 of those are children, but almost everybody is related to everybody. And so even though we only had three staff, that it was their parents, the rest of the staff, it was their aunts, their uncles, their teachers. And so it was really, really hard for our little community to have all these deaths at Christmas. But it was really interesting because I was able to walk with these two families. I visited them on Christmas Eve and dropped off some care packages. But the one lady, she called me on Christmas morning. And normally, you wouldn't take a work phone call on Christmas morning, but because of the circumstances, I did. And so I was able to spend an hour on Christmas morning talking to her on the phone, walking with her, walking through her grief, loving her, showing her that someone cares. And she comes from a really huge family, And normally she would reach out to the family, but because they were all grieving and really sad about the passing of her mom, it was really hard. And I'm still walking with her. Even the day that I was getting on the plane, she came into my office in tears, and it's been hard because of her mom's passing. And it's just been a privilege to walk along her and her families and just see how God is working in their lives.
So we need to change our lives so that we can reach out to people, but we also have to make sure that we're different too. We need to make sure that when we change, we ourselves are not pulled into sin. One man in our congregation, he saw his brother gambling on slot machines in Winnipeg when they were down there on a medical trip. And his brother had wasted all his money and then said, "Here, lend me some money. And when I win, I'll give you half my winnings." And so the man, he did this, and then he felt guilty about giving his money to his brother for gambling. And then he was upset because his brother lost all the money that doing that too. And so we have to follow Jesus, but we have to make sure that we're obeying him and showing something different for us to reach people for Christ. We can't be a good example if we're falling into sin and going against what Jesus taught when we're trying to reach out to people. Paul was a Jew, and he lived according to the rules of the Old Testament, but he was able to put those rules aside and to live by the law of Christ to reach those who he is living around. And the new law that Jesus gave to his followers is the one that Paul lives by, and it helped him to stay away from sin as he changed his lifestyle to fit other people. The law of Christ is to love God and to love others, and when we follow this law of love, then we show people God's love, and they will be more willing to understand that Jesus loves them.
So if there's someone that Jesus is showing us to reach out to, we may have to change our lives too. We had to. We never thought we'd be ministering in the north to the Inuit. So maybe your neighbor who doesn't follow Jesus is asking you for a walk or go for a coffee. Is God or Jesus prompting you to go with them? Maybe you have a new friend that likes to eat frozen caribou and wants to share some with you, like us. Paul changed his life so he could be more acceptable to those around him and share the good news about Jesus with them.
Paul was even willing to share in the weaknesses of those he was trying to reach. And this would mean that Paul would be reaching the poor people by being poor, and he would reach lepers by being among the lepers. He was also willing to humble himself to reach people who needed Jesus the most. He tried to find common ground with everyone so that some could find Jesus and follow him. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes that he can identify with many different types of people. He can identify with those who are facing danger, those who are sailors on a boat and had shipwrecks. He can identify with those who are poor, with those who had been beaten up, with those who had been even left for dead. Paul identified with those who were running from the law and had been in prison. Paul was able to find common ground with many different people as he served Jesus.
We have tried to be like Paul as well. And if you come visit us, hint, see Darcy if you want to, you can see the different people in our congregation. So if you walk into our congregation, you can see government workers who've moved to Arviat, who are learning about the Inuit culture, who are trying to fit in just like us. You'll see mentally ill people who really don't fit into any other place in our community. You'll see children who often come without parents, looking for guidance, looking for food in the morning, just looking for somebody to love them. We have people who come just for snack time. So after church, we have snack time and coffee time. And about 10 minutes before that, you'll have tons of people who will just come in for that time of day. And that's because that might be just the only thing they eat all day. We're working to find a common ground with all these people and to get to know them and to love them as Christ loves them.
And so this too must be our goal, to reach people however we can. Why? Because everyone deserves a chance to know that Jesus loves them and he wants them to follow him. Many of us have heard the message of Jesus and what he's done for us many times. But there are still people out there who have never heard the truth about Jesus, that he loves them, and that they can follow him to find freedom and a new life with God. Now, with Canadians attending church less and biblical literacy becoming less, there's even more people in Canada even who have never heard about Jesus before. And this includes many of our Indigenous peoples in Canada who have not truly experienced the love of Jesus in a real way from somebody yet. And there are many people moving into Canada who have not heard about Jesus either. And so we have many opportunities to find common ground with those God shows us who we can reach out to. Because after all, we're all human and we're all facing the same struggles. And that's what brings us together. And that's what brought Jesus to us. The writer of Hebrews puts it this way. Jesus understands every weakness of ours because he was tempted in every way that we are. But he did not sin. And so whenever we are in need, we should come bravely before the throne of our merciful God. There we will be treated with undeserved kindness and we will find help. And so Jesus understands us. And he came to earth and met us in our weakness so that we could come to him for help. And he wants to do that for everyone. He wants everyone to come to the throne of God for help and not just those who have come already. And so we need to be ready to change and to reach those who are different from us. And we have to think about how we can change and how we need to change to reach those people who are struggling with issues regarding their gender or want people who want help, who are just suffering and don't know where to turn. We have to think about how we reach out to people who are looking at screens in their palms most of the day, and it's hard to know how to talk to them sometimes. And even those who are suffering from pornography addictions and other addictions, what kind of changes do we need to make in our lives so that we can help the people who need to find Jesus? To help them know that Jesus loves them. We want to ask God together about how we can do that and have his wisdom in deciding how we need to change. So let's pray together about that. Tata Guti, Father God, we want to thank you so much that you love us and that you came to be with us and to show us a better way, the way of love, loving you and loving others. And we thank you that Jesus has made that possible for us in our lives as we accepted him. And we pray that you would just show us how to love those around us and to love you as well. Show us if we need to change to reach out to our neighbor or our friend or even our enemy, the people who Satan has set up against us. We pray that you would help us to know how to show love to them. And if there's something that needs to change in our life or something that we need to give up so that we can do that, we pray that you would just make us be able to do that and give us strength to do that and lead us in that by your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the examples you have put for us in the Bible, the examples of Jesus and Paul. And we pray that you would help us to be more like them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.